Welcome to Crew. In this episode, we're swiping left and right to discuss online dating, apps, websites, social media, and everything in the middle. I'm Effie, recording from lovely London, and I have with me Misty, Berlin.
Hello.
Hi. And Frank, also in Berlin.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Frank, you should start. I'm not in a good place.
You're not in a good place. Do you want to say why you're not in a good place, and then I'll start?
I think just for, you know, fairly Berlin reasons, you know, shifting life conditions, Berghain, left out nights, and you just come out a bit more destabilized than you went into the weekend.
It's definitely not a good city to start people conversations with people on a Tuesday. They're usually still dying days into their various hangovers. Yeah,
I always find Tuesdays are harder than Mondays after a big weekend somehow.
But I will say I've rediscovered one of my great pleasures in life, and that's spending time at gay parties and gay clubs and gay bars. I went to the Easter Berlin fetish sort of street festival. It's something like the Folsom, like the Berlin Folsom Festival.
Yeah, so would you recommend?
It's so bizarre because we talk as we do on Crude, and yet in other contexts, it's not always, you can't always be too crude about the things we like to talk about. But if you go to a gay fetish street festival, you can say whatever the hell you want and have the most bizarre, obscene conversations with people completely openly, and then switch to, you know, oh, nice shoes. It's such a relief sometimes, and I feel it's just such a comfortable, easy night out in gay bars, gay clubs, gay festivals, no matter how heavy or raunchy they are.
Well, a couple of weekends ago, I went to Manchester, and they're very famous for a street or an area called the Gay Village, which is pretty much like a street full of gay bars. The streets are sprawling with drag queens and colours.
It's actually one of the few nice places in central Manchester to hang out, isn't it?
I had the best time.
Yeah.
And also the music is the best. I had the best time.
Although some people weren't too happy with the name Easter Fetish because it had nothing to do with Easter, but it was, yeah, they had this beauty contest, and it was outrageous. The questions they asked, one of the main competitors or entrants was, you know, when you go to eat in someone's house, do you fuck first and then eat, or eat and fuck first? And, you know, and people weren't even laughing. This was the most tame question of the bunch. It's a good question. So, guys, I'm going to put it to you. Do you eat and then fuck, or fuck and then eat?
Well, I would say like dinner date. And it's like, for example, 2 hours of dinner, 2 hours of private time. I'm starting to decide which one actually works, because there's a whole feeling of, if you're going to fuck afterwards, are you going to be too bloated, gassy, sluggish and all the rest?
You could well have a good fuck and then have a relaxing dinner.
But what if you're seeing them or meeting them for the first time? Like, dinner or food can be a nice icebreaker and kind of ease yourself into it. So I don't know, for me, it depends, 50-50.
I had a few dinner dates at Corona, and then when people came over, because it was, all the restaurants were closed, obviously. And then if you didn't have sex first, the meals just, it started getting more and more awkward and more difficult to find a moment to start and do something.
People
who wanted to fuck first were usually surprised that I'd even cooked food. I'll put it to you that way. I had a few bath dates where I was talking to people who didn't have bath. This is Corona texting shit back in 2020, even 2022, a little bit. And then people come and said, oh yeah, come over. They come over and the bath would be full. And be like, oh, you really do have a bath? You're like, yeah, it's what we've been talking about. And they're like, okay, whatever. Let's jump in.
Well, I did forget to mention that our beloved Elle is away at the moment, so she's not here to tell, but I'm sure she wouldn't mind telling a story about how she hosted a sex party here in London, and it was like a potluck and fuck. So everyone had to bring a dish. As far as I remember, the food was there laid on the table, but untouched. Oftentimes the food stays, the fucking starts, and then after everyone's fucked and their legs are like jelly, then they start eating. So it's good to have the food there. Food is a good touch. Or unless you're doing lines, in which case, jelly beans.
There's one sex party I'm so sad that I missed, and it involved food. The guy basically had prepared, like, he had organized two women that he'd put on two tables and then put like tons of sushi on top of them.
Classic.
So you could just sit around, and I don't know, they had their legs split and you just eat the sushi and wasabi off of them.
I do like that, actually.
At least he told me afterwards that it was good because you could have also chats with them while eating away, but that the sushi would just like warm up gradually. And that is...
my recommendation for this kind of sushi platter, make it vegan. No raw fish, nothing like this, nothing that needs to stay warm.
Simple cucumber.
Cucumber, avocado, no wasabi. My friend did have a party at a dungeon and had this very thing. Two women laying there with loads of sushi. I was helping place the sushi on the body. I felt really sorry for them. They were there for ages and people were slowly taking it off, like making it quite sensual. And yeah, and then
why not
like,
naked guys?
Wash them off. Naked people.
It's clearly like a sexist tradition, what, you know, sees women more as decoration objects.
Have you all seen the Sex and the City movie where Samantha makes sushi from scratch for her boyfriend, and she's like waiting, and she's like laying there naked with the sushi on her body, and ends up coming super late and she gets really pissed off. So I think that's where a lot of people have seen that idea. Oh, yeah, I really felt sorry for Samantha that day, like, you know. I looked up to her till then. I'm kidding.
In another way, I'm lying here, not like high and lubed up, but like and sushi, you know, rolled up.
Left high and sushied, high and soy sauced.
What are we talking about today, Effie?
Yeah, so I mentioned it at the beginning of the episode about dating apps online, the way in which people in our society today, in this world we live in, are making, quote, human connections through the phone, through the computer. So I just thought it'd be nice, something to talk about, because it seems to be almost a rarity to hear someone say that they don't use apps or that I haven't heard of the apps. Or I mean, a lot of people say they hate dating apps, but they fucking use them. All of us in the same.
Oh, well, yeah. Download yeah. them, use them, abuse them, then take them off their phone and tell everyone that they've taken them off their phone. And then they don't tell everyone. It's like a gambler. They don't tell everyone that they've put them back on the phone, you know?
It's like a dirty secret. The thing is, I was thinking about the apps, which we all know. I mean, we can like say them in our hands, Tinder, Field, Bumble and everything else. I did hear or read somewhere that the algorithm, particularly on Hinge, makes it so that you actually don't find your match, because with Hinge has this thing where once you find your perfect match, you let the Hinge app know and then they remove your profile and you get quite like a success story. But I did also read somewhere that, in fact, with the algorithm, they really don't want you to get off the app. A lot of people on Hinge, actually, you can download it for free, you can use it for free. But to get more perks and to see who likes you, and to see how when they've been online last, and to view private pictures of people, you have to pay. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's a business after all.
Apps only function by extracting money from mostly from men using yeah. apps, straight men using apps. Like this mm-hmm. is there's so much coding and so much cost, and they're pretty complex apps. You know, there's nothing free in there, but the whole point is to extract money from people. And then Bumble, and so we'll also maybe, and we're just going to stay with the binaries because we're talking about this phenomenon is mostly men and mostly women. With a lot of women, they're also trying to get them to pay in and chip in, you know, so they'll offer them more filters and so on. But I don't know if any of them is more insidious or not as to how they're doing to keep you in. Like, I know in Hinge, they do ask you if you enjoy the date, if you like that person, and then, yeah. you know, maybe person. So maybe it's mm-hmm. narrowing your algorithms.
I recently, sorry, this is just jumping in with some random, but also potentially interesting information. I met someone in Berkeley and told me there's a Telegram group that is basically being, you know, shown around amongst women and that you can join if you want to be warned about dating app abuses. Basically uh-huh. people, like basically guys being called out yes. after they've been weird, dangerous, liars. You know, in any sense, vile on the dating apps so yep. that you would know before.
In the US, it started on Facebook groups in different cities where it was women warning or people, I think you have to be a woman to join the group. I don't know if you'd be cis or not, but definitely female presenting, that you
yeah.
warn people about catfishing and about dangerous people.
Yeah.
But apparently it gets problematic because after a while it gets down to he ghosted me, the bastard, here's his name and address. And then people are being accused of things. And then all these groups start cannibalizing and ending up in litigation, which probably would be less of a risk for Telegram.
Because if some person's been scorned or pissed off or otherwise pissed off at someone, they could just badmouth them on this Telegram group.
I mean, at the end of the day, all humans are a bit stupid, so it would be surprising if nothing, something bad came out.
But I've only ever had one bad experience on an app, and I had for share a million different reasons, which I'm sure my therapist could explain to everyone here in far better detail than me. But a squabillion dates, or 11 billion maybe, in the past 6 years. And I think I'd only one bad experience. And just really? What we were saying there kicked it off. I actually met someone on a date from Field, and she was incredibly boring. And we were sitting there, and this other woman who I'd matched on Tinder contacted me and said she wanted to meet. She sent some more pictures, claimed to be a doctor. I won't say which area of the city. It all
Wait,
seemed
how
to sort
the
of
doctor thing like play into this for you? Like, were you actually, oh, I'm meaning a PhD and that's important to me?
No, she was like a medical doctor. Medical doctors are also like to tell people. That was it. There was no face pics. So, and then she had a successful practice in the area where she was in, just she wasn't showing her face. So she's texting me when I'm meeting the other person saying, come on, let's go, let's meet in this bar. Hey, do you want to meet up? You want to have a threesome? Hey, there's a guy here who's into a threesome. So I just left this other date. I wanted to say dumped, but it wasn't true. I jumped into a taxi and went off to meet this other person, got into the bar. She was sitting up the top of the bar with a giant bottle of Dom Perignon in a bucket.
In a bucket of ice.
No, this is classic.
Bucket.
Fancy.
And some guy at the bar who she'd been texting saying, this guy, he's totally into a threesome. This guy looked like he'd just got off one of those bikes with all the child seats on it and left his helmet at the bar, completely clueless as to what was going on or as to how much drugs she'd been on. So I'm starting to think what's going on here. Took me back to the house. She's smaller to me. She's athletic and also a woman. So I'm not thinking anything. I'm thinking this is mad. She's been texting and stuff. I missed all the flags, of course, you know.
Wait, maybe what some are the flags for now?
What
being
the
small
flags
and athletic,
for? The fact that
Frank?
She said that this guy was down for all kinds of stuff and the guy literally looked like he just wandered in from an engineering conference.
I was going to say, would you agree her not having a profile picture could potentially be a red flag or no?
There are teachers and people who are, say, therapists and teachers and some other actors and things. They sometimes don't show face pics in apps. Got back to the house and she said, you know what we do now? Why don't you take off your clothes? Took off my clothes. She said, now let me tie you up. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And I'm usually not into tying up. And she hog tied me. So my legs and ankles around each other. I'm still kind of got a stupid grin on my face. And then when she realized I couldn't really move anymore, she came up and then bound in with a cloth in my mouth, but then started to shout at me, like getting seriously sort of nasty and abusive, and then really pulled back hard in this cloth. And all of a sudden, that's when it hit me. I thought, you're after allowing this person to completely hogtie. You can't move. And now their personality's just totally changed. Their voice has changed. Their personality's changed.
Wow.
She changed her voice?
Everything.
Did the cloth have any, you know how you can douse a cloth with some kind of chemical?
It was probably something out of my magic box of sex toys, which at the time were no longer magic. They were actually just terrifying.
Dangerous.
Exactly. And then she had me tied. And at that moment, in this 1 millisecond, I realized how stupid I'd been, how I'd let myself into this, how I didn't know this person, how I'd left all the facts. And I did all of this because I was supremely confident in, I'd met this person online. So presuming there was some kind of, you know, trail, like this person couldn't be a psycho because I met them online. And number two, I'm a man and this was a woman.
Wait, sorry, what's this first argument? They couldn't be a psycho because you met them online.
I think this idea that even though these are private conversations with people, you presume that the person did some verification, checked a number. So I think people can feel falsely secure sometimes I like all apps now do more verification these days.
Don't you think that all comes down to the fact that you let basically men just by and large get less of the, you know, the education of like flag reading?
It's being arrogant and thinking like, you know, nothing's going to happen to me. Because all of a sudden, this person was really strong. And then I realized something's wrong. I have to get out of this position. So somehow managed to loosen the knot, somehow pulled out. She's screaming at me. And then she jumped at me to sort of attack me and I kicked her. I still wasn't properly untied in my hands, but my legs were. And she went moving. I was going to say flying back, moving back. She hits the wall and hits the ground and sort of crumples on the ground and looks at me. And in that moment, she gave me this look of not of this sort of person who'd been attacking me a second ago, but someone who'd just been attacked themselves, like, you know, the victim lying there. And then I thought,
wow,
oh shit, I'm after like potentially hurting this woman who's smaller than me in this kind of situation. But then thankfully the Joker smile came back up and she came at me again. I was able to ward her off, and then she said she'd get a taxi. I called her a taxi. She dressed, said goodbye, said thank you, walked off, and then taxi driver called me 10 minutes later and said, where are you? And she'd never taken the taxi. She walked home.
So basically you move from the danger of being raped yourself to being accused of rape.
At least of hurting this person.
Yeah.
To calling her a taxi and saying goodbye.
That's a fairly serious bad dating
app
experience.
That's the only bad experience I've had. Apart from going on a date and being forced to watch 3D Aquaman. I think they're the only two bad experiences I've had of all the dates on all the apps.
I mean, that's really horrific, Frank. Like, thank you for sharing. I mean, that's wild.
I think sometimes I think of it as traumatic, and other times I think I was an idiot, and it was something to just check your own arrogance about how you look at dangers and stuff. But also considering how it is for many people who every time they go out on a date, they might actually think this is something that could potentially happen.
So I met this woman on the weekend and we were sharing horrific date stories, and hers ended up being quite scary. So she told me that she met this guy again online, maybe Field again. They'd agreed to go for a walk with their dogs. Quite wholesome. And perhaps they lived close to each other, but he was like, well, since we're going to a park, I'll just pick you up in my car and drive you to the park. And she was like, oh yeah, sure. We're just going for a walk. While they're in the car, he starts telling her how his ex-girlfriend has a restraining order on him for domestic violence. And he was telling her on the first date.
What?
While she's in the car with him, and he's telling her that he's got this, like, quote, crazy ex-girlfriend. So she started to quietly freak out. Of course, she was fawning at the time. You know, you've got this fight or freeze or fawn. And I know for a fact that I've had fawn where, you know, you're kind of in a dangerous situation, but you kind of say nice things to them to keep them like good and okay. And she did that, and eventually she got out of the car. But she was just like, she didn't even think twice about getting in the car, because his suggestion of going for a walk with the dogs was so wholesome and cute. He ended up being quite frightening for her.
Was this a common thing for her? Have you ever had any bad experiences that you'd be willing to share? Or just, for most people, bad experiences seem to be going out with someone who just doesn't shut up and talks about themselves.
Oh,
I know a lot
God,
of women
yes.
say that a lot, but a lot of guys.
I actually, had that where met this guy, agreed to meet up with this guy on a date, probably Field, who knows. And we're going to go to mini golf. And he ended up being like fucking 40 minutes, 45 minutes late. And I waited. And then when we got there, not long into the day, I realized that he had not stopped talking. He didn't know a single thing about me. He was telling me about his grandma, his mom, his this, his that. I knew his life story. He knew not even one thing about me. But at the same time, I had a feeling that he'd be good in bed. So I brought him back on the train. He's talking. I'm thinking, fuck, I don't know. Like, my dick radar was on that day. Like, I just knew. Brought him back. And he did end up, I did stay up having sex with him all night. And I had a housemate at the time who had to work the next day. And he was like, my housemate was like so pissed off. He's like, Effie, I did not sleep. You were just fucking so loudly. I was like, this guy gave me 10 orgasms. And he was like, oh, okay, I get it. I understand. But I don't know, like, sometimes you have to make
it's
that.
It's not really a bad dating story, though.
Every cloud a silver railing.
Yes.
Boom, boom.
Exactly. Yeah. Luckily, I was right in that regard, because sometimes you bring someone back, they're shit on the date, their personality is pretty shit. But in my opinion, I like to fuck or to have some play on the first date. Every time, no matter what, because I don't want to waste my time coming back, because if the sexual chemistry is not there, bye. And if I'm on a date with someone and they kiss shit, then I don't even take it further.
Like, that's actually interesting. That's a good rule, I think. Like, even the last years, this is now a very romantic thing I'm going to say. The guy I have been with for years, he's literally, I think, one of the few people that I kissed ever, where even until the very end, basically, I always became super horny just from the kiss. And this I find so rare.
It's so rare,
like, isn't it?
Kissing is so important for me.
And, you know, they can be neutral, but neutral is not enough. You know, when you kiss and it just doesn't do anything, you could just stay right there.
I have a relationship with someone who wasn't a good kisser. I wouldn't even consider. I could probably accept almost anything else, but not that.
But I will say, I have successfully taught someone how to be a little bit of a better kisser. If your natural kissing flow and energy is on, it's it. I'm like, I'm done. I'm melting. I'm dripping. Like, you know, take me home now. I don't want to hear about your mom and grandma. Let's go. But when I first moved to London, I'll just say another story about Tinder. So back, I think, before Field, I was just on Tinder and this other website called Fab Swingers, which I'm about to talk a bit more about. So Tinder was Tinder. We all know Tinder. Quick hookups. I would go on Tinder and I lived somewhere in East London, and I would go every time to the same pub just for a drink. And if the vibe was good and the kiss was good, 2 minute walk back to my flat. And if the vibe was shit and I didn't have any energy, 2 minute walk back to my flat alone. So that was what I was doing. And I was going on like 3-4 dates a week, because I was just like on the horn. So I met Elle, our other crudy Elle.
Just quickly. And it's like, yes. Total time you spend on a date could be from what, like 20
minutes?
Could
be just one drink. One glass of red wine and then let's go. Sometimes two. Because I just wanted to, like, take him back and see if the sex was good, because I was chasing good sex. That's what I wanted at the time. Around that time, I had met Elle, our fourth crudy who's not here today. But I was, I'd come back from my other country to London, new, and I've been fucking around there and going to play parties and fucking around. Couldn't find my place here. I couldn't find ways to get easy lay. So she told me about this website called Fab Swingers, F-A-B Swingers. Now, it's not an app. It's an old-ass website where the interface hasn't changed in the last 10 years. It's very hard to navigate. What I liked about that app is you can have nude pictures, cock pics, dick pics, pussies, couples, trans, everything under the sun, any requests, kink, BDSM, and everything under the sun. And you can get verified. So you'd have to put a picture of yourself and all of this to get verified. And then once you meet up with someone, you can write them a review. And what I liked about that is that if someone's got a bunch of reviews, then you can tell that they're real. And I felt quite a bit of safety in that, you know. Yeah. So because someone, another woman like me, for example, or another couple or someone else had seen this particular person, written a review, I can even text her and be like, hey, is this any feedback? It's almost like when you're referring like someone for to meet for a work for an escort job, for example. But this is well,
none of the other apps do that. I wonder why.
That's why FabSwingers is still going strong, even though I'm over all the apps at the moment. Anyone who tries to text me on Field, I don't even have notifications. So I think that turns them on a bit more.
How many matches have you got in Field? You must have about a billion.
Nah, I never go on it. I hardly go on it. People,
because what's your frustration with Field?
I find it like hard work. I find it work. So I had previously been connected with someone on Field. So two different accounts and we were connected. It was a guy and he was just doing all the work. Same with Fab Swingers. I had someone else doing the admin. It's just the admin. It's the texting. That's why I like to go to sex parties.
The texting sucks so bad.
Yeah.
But imagine how it is for guys. If you're a guy in there, because you don't get that many matches.
No.
You don't get that many likes. So you have to write and write and write. It's a full-time job. And if you're not on there swiping, it takes you out of the algorithm. So for me, it's almost a full-time job.
I feel like it's not as easy for gay women or lesbian women or bisexual women like myself to find success on dating app. Like,
you mean success as in casual hookups or relationships? Like what?
I mean, come on. I'm not looking for a relationship, but I do like meaningful hookups. Does that make sense? Like, I can have romantic hookups. So the success that I've had has mainly been with couples. But if I'm chatting, if I see a hot babe on a dating app, I don't know. I'm suspicious. I don't know why.
Really?
So the only time, I just
maybe like, what's the problem? What's the problem with you? And
I don't know.
Like the problem is finding good women, yeah?
I think with me, with men, they're easy. They're easy. They just want one thing. Oh, also me, but they're easier to navigate. They're so transparent to me. Whereas women, like I need to feel their physical aura. They need to be there in front of me. Like my most successful, like love at first sight or lust at first sight that I had with a woman was like there face to face. I don't know a thing about her, but I knew that there was something.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to date women or non-binary people through a screen or a phone app, it's not the one for me.
That's very interesting. I've had a lot of apps, never used them regularly because I just felt like I'm missing the essential information, which is how someone moves, smiles, laughs, you know, is in real life, how the body shape is, like how they carry themselves socially, how insecure they are, how they smell, all this stuff.
That
is actually relevant. Yeah. So how should I decide whether to give one of my, you know, my very valuable time to rando on the basis of that information? So I find it interesting that you just have that kind of problem just with women and not with men.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what it is. I think but it, the same can go for couples. Now, I think all three of us in this recording have dated couples, whether having been in a couple or as the third. And I find that is like the halfway between dating, you know, in between. Because half the time it's like, is the woman really into it? And I've had that question asked upon me when I've been with a man. Am I just doing it for him? Is she just doing it for him? Blah, blah, blah. So I've had more success with dating couples online. What about you, Misty? You found couples online?
We met couples and threesomes with women from the apps. And, you know, coming back to the question of whether to eat or to fuck first, we had a couple of horrible dates, but where we literally spent 7 hours with them, you know, went from drinks to stupid board games, which honestly, I'm not a board game person at all. So it was only when they finally suggested that we bring up, quite honestly, the combination of massage and substance that, you know, we had to go through the massage, flip the coin, basically, who would get massaged. It was me, luckily. And I was very happy when finally a finger slipped into me.
I need to know what board game you played.
Uno.
I get that. I do appreciate, particularly for new time newbies who are quite shy and like it's it's a big yeah. deal for a lot of people. So I get that. But 7 hours of this long game and you just like your eyes are rolling in the back of your head, ready to go to bed. I've been there.
That's
as well,
the problem. You know? That's the problem with couples.
We did one time we just stayed over at a couple's place because it got so late. So we just had a friendly pajama party basically.
No.
And we were even thinking, should we just like, you know, swap beds or whatever, you know, because after brushing teeth, there was a moment where you think, oh, should we just slip away and go to bed there, but and not to the couch they had prepared for us. But no. We didn't. We had a, you know, just.
I don't do that anymore. I'll stand up at a certain point and just say like, if it's not coming, I'll just say something like, be lewd, be crude. Or if the guy's bi or something, I'll just pull down his pants and start blowing
just
him. Just
sucking his dick.
It's just awkward. It's exactly. Yeah. It's awkward.
Yeah.
This happened at a party once. I had to go, I had to do something the next day and people were just talking and talking and talking and talking. So I just stood up, went over to one of the guys and pulled down his pants.
That is no problem for our consent.
But then it kicked it off.
That's amazing.
Like, people are waiting for this. And it's getting cranky and all. So I think if it doesn't happen, I might as well go home rather than stay over and have an even more awkward breakfast. Dating couples is tricky. Exactly, because what you're saying, Effie, that is, so it's the opposite. If you're a third wheel, a guy dating a couple, it's always, oh, is he really into it? And so often I have the feeling that she's maybe done a threesome with a girl, which they were both into. And she's maybe said, hey, if we do it this way, we're going to do it with a guy as well. And they'll have straight or maybe heteroflexible, even worse in their profile.
I hate heteroflexible.
So he's agreed to it. And so often they're reluctant. And so often they're just going along with it because she's agreed to do something maybe with a girl another time. And I don't do those ones anymore either, because you just have a guy sitting there getting either jealous, and if she starts enjoying herself, you can just see them kind of seething. And it's also very awkward if there's a straight guy there trying to have a threesome. I just think it's bizarre. And then dating couples then is the cancellation, you know, it's the dynamic of the three.
Why is it actually, when we have threesomes with girls, I don't think ever... I don't know, I would engage with them, but also, you know, I'm not a great actress, and I don't put a lot of energy into acting if I'm not. So I do stuff, but it's not as if I'm like completely pretending that I fully horned up for the woman.
And
for
you
the girl.
Shouldn't
like,
have
I'm,
to either. That's not fair.
Yeah.
Because then it becomes performative.
And exactly. But this seemed never to be a problem. You know, actually, I once had a threesome with my guy, where basically what happened is long, you know, again, like glass of, you know, wine, blah, 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 long catch up before. Then we finally go to the action. They fuck, she comes. And I'm, you know, I was like, I was just basically hosting, you know, facilitating the whole thing. I was like, hey, now this is like getting really horny. So I was like, now this is my turn for the dick. But he was clearly turned on by the fact that she'd just come. And as the second as I was opening my mouth to be like, you know, okay, would you do me now? He asked her, could I keep going until I come too?
Oh my gosh. Hang on, wait. Isn't this what we were discussing last week about the jealousy about being left behind and things like that?
So that was, you know.
That's
so
mad.
I was like,
wow.
Okay, well, I guess.
That's
I
not
guess.
Good behavior. That is poor form. I am so sorry. Fuck that.
So then, sorry. No, it was, I felt literally like Ross from Friends, you know, when he's being kicked off the bed by his ex-partner when she's making out with her new girlfriend. I was like, oh yeah, to be fair, in his defense, I was on my period. So it wasn't quite clear how much I was fully interested in getting into the action. I don't mind period sex. And I was clearly being, you know, I was clearly being horny, and I was a part enough for him, I think, to have sensed that I was ready to have normal sex.
Yeah, no, babe, that was anyway. The opposite of a success story.
This is the problem I find as a third wheel doing stuff with couples, is as couples have stuff like this going on.
So,
and it's something to do with them.
So that was my threesome story on the apps.
I mean, there are some success threesome stories and dating
there's
app
loads
stories.
Of success
there's loads
of success stories. There's loads of success stories on the apps, like way more good than bad. I suppose we're coming up with some of the stories.
Would you go on field also to just date women or just for the...
I'm off all apps at the moment. I did for years, yeah. I think Field was always excellent. The people are always interesting. People are more honest. Berlin, anyway, they've got some kind of creative jobs. Interesting people in conversation, because it's really important to me to have some kind of connection with them beyond just what could happen afterwards.
I wanted to ask, Frank, is the reason you're off the apps now is because you've got a monogamish, you've got a partner or something? And also,
yeah, I wouldn't
call
them
monogamous,
but yes, I am. I'm in a relationship with someone, and we're not at the moment dating people alone. So without the other person, that's why I'm off the ass. But I'd been on them for years, and as you were saying, they get addictive. And for guys, and it's not just addiction for guys. You kind of sort of have to be on them to stay in there and write. I don't know how many males, but I've got so much more free time now. My phone's freer, my mind's freer, my weeks are freer. I don't have to go on these, Field was usually not like that, but certainly on Bumble and Hinge, on these dates where it just became quite formulaic, the questions and the people you're meeting. And
I was wondering, because you said like, oh, I had well over 1,000 dates or whatever since a couple of years. How many of them basically was a good date at some point, just, you know, not a boring date?
Point. So I was dating almost compulsively for distraction, because I was going through a pretty hard time there a few years back, or 5 years ago anyway. I was doing it for distraction. So I liked the idea of going and meeting these people. And then I found out fairly quickly that if you are willing to listen and ask the other person a question, especially if that person's a woman, and you ask them questions, they're so surprised that you're asking them questions and listening.
So
dates were usually, could have been sometimes a little bit boring, but if you just went and said, no, tell me about your job, and then, no, actually, how did that work? And then they kind of go in a roll, and then they wouldn't stop talking for 40 minutes.
But isn't that wild?
And it usually meant that you either slept together that night or on the second date or something. So it usually increased the chances of something like that happening as well.
The bar is so low.
The bar is. Thank you. I'm going to take that as some kind of compliment, Effie.
I mean, even for me.
I don't see myself as the bar.
No, listen, I'm even speaking in my own. Like, even if I'm dating a man and he asks me questions about myself, I'm blown away. Wow. This guy's something out. But I wanted to bring up the question, like we've talked a lot about man, women, like, you know, the binary. But I'd be curious to know, and I think I've kind of have a bit of an idea about the struggle it would be for someone who's non-binary, gender fluid, someone who's trans, post-op, pre-op, and everything in between, like how much they would struggle on the dating apps. And is there a dating app for them? And because I talked earlier about meeting someone face-to-face, like at particular parties, sex parties or kink events, but not many people are going to these events. So I'm curious about like the dating world in that regard, because, you know, we hear a lot about, you know, success stories and people getting married from someone I know has a successful marriage. They've met each other on Tinder or whatever.
I think apparently over 40%, just over 40% are on the apps because they're looking for someone very serious, like basically life partner.
Yes.
But then it's only, I think, 10 to 13%. Who actually end up marrying someone that they met on the apps. And it is sad that at least, you know, in these statistics where you ask people to judge the stability of their own relationship, that people who've met on the apps consider their own relationships to be less stable.
Interesting.
The ones who met offline.
Well, there is the idea that, you know, there's always something better. Which I think they call it, you know, you call it benching. You have someone, you've gone out with a guy, with it a few times, and you know they're safe. And then maybe I'll find someone better, you know, prettier, funnier, I don't know. And this is like an addiction thing. This is terrible.
Yeah, and there's an acronym I heard recently called FOBO, Fear of Better Options.
Oh, God.
So like,
brilliant.
Right?
That is so
you might be with someone and like they're probably fantastic or whatever. But then there's like, there might be a better option out there.
This
and
is terrible.
The option
man.
Is right there in the palm of your hand, on your phone. So many options. So there's this FOBO situation.
Do you know that movie Newness? I think it's floating around in some of the streaming
platforms. On Netflix,
platforms.
Yeah.
Newness.
Is it a film or a TV series?
It's a film. I forget who the director was. It's watchable, but there's an interesting part when this couple have met. They've hooked up a few times and they've met and then they decide to have a relationship. And they both sit beside each other and at the same moment say, now let's delete the apps. And they watch as each other deletes the apps. It's obviously something that really happens now that people say, you know, it's time to go. But I think she ends up back on them looking for other options. And I think this is definitely there because, you know, you have this, you're going out with someone, you're seeing them, and then you have this device in your pocket, which gives you a window to unlimited options. And, you know, we're all obsessed with this all the time about how many options are in front of us and how much freedom we find in this because we're so constrained in other parts of our lives. So
totally.
I think the devices are definitely affecting relationships.
You know the difference between maximizers and satisfiers?
No. What's that?
Well, maximizers are people, basically, I mean, I don't know how official concepts those are from decision theory, but that maximizers are people who keep pushing for the best option. So they if they book a holiday, they will look at all the options in detail before they settle for one. Whereas a satisfier is someone who keeps looking until they found a satisfying option, then they settle for the one. And I think in our world where with so many options that used to be remote because you just don't know that many people that you meet, you know, in person. Basically, with the digital age, you've just access to things that if you're a maximizer, you have to go mad at some point because you will never have done the tour of all the options.
Honestly, an ideal situation is your part. Having a partnership with someone who's a maximizer and someone who's a satisfier. Because I'd be there thinking, I don't give a fuck. And then my maximizer partner can do all the fucking research, which is brilliant. Goes back to me with the dating app, having my other person doing the hard yards.
You need to rewrite some theory, Effie.
In a way, even, you know, even though I had to give this one orgasm to this nice, she was actually very nice. But
you had to give the orgasm
to her. I was still happy that my partner used to organize these things, because without me, we wouldn't. None of this would have happened if it was just for me and my sluggish behavior.
Sluggish. Well, you know, spring is upon us.
Well, maybe in a future relationship, you can have more hookups with two men.
Yeah, I can facilitate
that. Maybe that's
that.
Your goal.
Top it up.
My favorite kind of threesome with men is if the guys who are bi. And so, you know, everyone's touching all up on each other.
That's what I was going to say, Misty, that you were saying that if two women aren't that much into each other, it doesn't seem to affect threesomes. But I think the point of, for women who are into MMF, so two guys, I'll just use the acronym, if they're actually into the guys interacting, and a good MMF, the woman's the center, you put them in the center and then the two guys kind of serve them. And that's how my experience, the things work the best. But then nearly always the women, even if the guy is supposed not to be, or is straight or not to straight, the women are into seeing the guys interacting or doing something as well. They want this interaction. So if you're there with someone who has a problem with this and doesn't want this closeness, it starts to affect the dynamic between you and, say, the female person who's supposed to be at the center.
I was just going to ask you, so you did use the app secretly once when you were in a relationship. Both of you.
Are you asking whether
I told
my partner I was off the app?
Yeah.
Me personally.
And lied to them.
Too much work. Frank, maybe?
I used to lie. Yes, I used to lie. And then when I stopped lying, I was guilty of just omitting, just not saying things. And
that is lying in the philosophical definition of you lying.
I didn't lie to the people I was talking to in the apps. I lied to my, to the
partner. Yeah, I wasn't confused about that. Omission is lying.
Were you on the apps while still being with a partner because of the compulsion of it? Or were you doing FOBO? Were you looking for better options?
That's complex. Sorry, I'm talking about a much earlier relationship, a marriage. So
yeah, in the past.
After that, I didn't lie to partners. I was on apps and talking to people, but they knew I was on apps. But then I just wasn't saying what I was doing. But I had been on apps as a married person and said I was married and that it was cheating. I had been on some of these cheating apps and websites, actually, as they used to be.
So there are apps and websites that are specifically for married people who want to meet up with other married people with complete discretion. So they're not getting romantically or sexually fulfilled by their wife / husband / partner, and they find someone else who's in a similar boat. So essentially the idea is that they're both going to be cautious and discreet. I mean, and yeah, I didn't really know about it until I met a client of mine who offered me told me his story about meeting someone, another woman who was on the apps, and he's like really into her, but she won't fuck him. Like, so he's actually not getting fucked by his wife or his mistress, and still seeing escorts, but he's the one who told me about it. So it is a thing. It's supposed to be for like professional, older, more established, or like for discretion. So yeah, they do actually exist, but that seems so risky business, you know.
when I did some of those dates, that was really hot. There was no face pics. It was meeting at hotels and weird hours, dark bars, glass of wine, up to the room.
Oh my gosh! You know what, Frank? That sounds like Grindr. That sounds exactly like Grindr.
Because I know when I meet up with some of my gay friends, I spend a lot of the meeting just looking through some of their weirdest Grindr profiles that they've seen over the past week or so. And it's one of the funniest apps in the world, I think, Grindr, if you start to look at what's actually going on.
I actually did go on Grindr with one of my bisexual boyfriends. But again, I got over it so quickly. I'm not the app type. But I've had someone doing the work for me, like a personal assistant.
Same, like a secretaire.
And a secretary.
That's not what. I'm with you.
Just bringing the dicks and the pussies to me. Like, bring it on. I'll pay you.
My personal favorite Grindr request of the last year that I heard is that a friend of mine was offered, I think it was 300 euros. They were going to meet up and fuck. But then the guy said, hey, I'll also give you 300 euros if I can shave your eyebrows off before we fuck.
Wait. No way.
So you're going to get potentially 600 euros? But no eyebrows.
No, not per eyebrow. No, 300 for the two.
But you're like, fuck it, obviously I would do it.
But imagine how people look without eyebrows, people look really strange. And 300, what kind of a fetish is that? I don't know.
I will thanks for bringing that up, because people who have very specific fetishes, that it's the only way that they can get off and their partner can't give it to them and they can't reveal it in a Tinder profile, that's when they should go, that's when they probably can go to apps and dating websites to find specifically that. And there's one called FetLife, which is, I think I have an app for it now as well. There's a lot of ways to find what you're looking for, but bloody long. I'm tired just talking about it.
Amen to that.
But it's been a great conversation, actually, all about the wonderful world of apps.
Dating, traumas, fucking,
eyebrows, near misses, and orgasms. And no orgasms.
I'd love to know, what's the best food for your dinner sex date? What would you cook at the potluck, at Elle's potluck and fuck party?
I say just clementines. I'd just bring clementines.
No way. Clementines are the worst. I mean, they're so dry. That's the one mistake. It's funny you said that, because that's one thing I would ban from my sex party. No clementines allowed.
I put little, I chopped up little squares of cheese and put grapes on them and toothpicks at a party.
Cute.
And everyone laughed and said I was old fashioned.
It is.
And I was trying to do one of these hedgehog things.
That's cute.
They were the first fucking thing that everyone ate. And
see?
They loved them. They wouldn't
admit
it.
Can't go wrong with grape. Can't go wrong with
olives.
Olives.
What are you going to cook us, Effie, at the next potluck and fuck?
I don't fucking cook anything. I'll order some sushi.
Vegan.
Vegan, of course. Yeah. All right, everyone. Thanks again.
Okay.
See you.
Bye. You've just been listening to Crude. If you'd like to join the conversation, follow us on Insta, crude_podcast, crude underscore podcast, or email us on crude.berlin@gmail.com.